You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey there, welcome to today's show. And I'm approaching today with a mixture of excitement and creation and a mixture of reverence and silence for the sadness around the victims of all the fires going on in L.A. I mean, you know, this is L.A. Talk Radio, and I realize it's on the Internet. It's all over the world. But I've got a friend that lives in that Paradise area whose entire life, everything they owned, a friend and his wife, gone. And that's sad. And you know, thousands of others. I don't know how many structures, 10, 12, 15,000, I don't know. An insane amount of stuff, and there's a lot of finger-pointing and noise about it. I don't think that's going to solve anything. It'd be good if we just get to work and figure out two things. One, how to fix what we got, and two, how to prevent it from happening again. But anyway, I'm not going to dive into that because this isn't about that. This is about no matter where you are. And it was interesting because the friend of mine, my thesis and everything I believe is no matter what happens around you, you can create miracles. You can create good stuff. So sure enough, this friend of mine who lost his home Tuesday or Wednesday of last week, I got a note from him. I asked him and he said, you know, it's gone, everything gone, and shared some things. I saw a post from him yesterday, or maybe it was today, I don't know. He talked about, you know, everything's gone. And I could hear his voice with power and presence, as though we were pounding on a table and we're going to come back better and stronger. And I don't know if he's going to rebuild there or somewhere else, but he talked about the devastation in his body. He said he was feeling it physically, somatically, mentally, spiritually, all of the ways you can experience something is this trauma. And even in the midst of that, I mean, like it's barely a few days old, and his thought and feeling, and I know him, so I know that this is deep passion, saying it doesn't matter. This has happened. The trauma is real. The pain is real. The struggle is real. And it will be for every single person. And I'm not letting it put me down, keep me down, beat me up, end my dreams or hopes or anything else. Now, that is one example of a horrific thing. A fire that soullessly and ruthlessly just destroys everything. And we have other things in our lives that wreck, you know, relationships, partners that are unfaithful, business partners that rip us off, you know, something that was unexpected, an illness that comes and completely wipes us out in the hospital, whatever. And, you know, there we are. Completely unexpected, flat on our back or flat on our face with whatever the devastation is around us. In this particular case, fire. And in your case, it might be financial, bankruptcy, loss of business, somebody ripped you off. You know, any and everything across the spectrum, those things happen. And I don't think anything is going to stop them from happening until, you know, the world ends. So since that's true, we always, including like my friend who lost his home, he and his wife, to say, okay, this has happened. It's terrible. It's traumatic. It's horrible. And nothing can keep me from rising again, building more in life. And I, like I said, I assume they're going to build something there, but I don't know that. And that is the spirit of resilience and the spirit of creation. So not downplaying one molecule of anyone's suffering. As you know my stories. I've spent a month in a coma. I died. And so I've had personal illness. Now, I've never had my house burned down. But I've died and had a number of times. Just 2 weeks ago, I spent the weekend before, 3 weeks ago, I spent the weekend before Christmas in the hospital, hooked up to a heart monitor because they thought something was wrong, et cetera, et cetera. And given the fact that I spent a week or so in the hospital some years before with atrial fibrillation they couldn't stop, you know, the possibility of something serious was real. So I'm not comparing that to losing your home or anything else. My point is, you have trauma. And you also get to decide 100% of the time what to do with it or do about it. I was talking to a client earlier today, and he was commenting about, you know, he's got kids that are married, and they've got, you know, young grandkids now. And so he's old enough to say, said to me today on the coaching call, he said, you know, it's interesting when I talk to my kids or daughters or sons-in-law or whatever, and they say, oh, this happened, and they're getting ready to be all upset about it. And he said, you know, his natural reaction is, yeah, that's not a big deal. And they're like, how is that not a big deal? And he was laughing with me and with the situation, saying, you know, we think things are a big deal. And at the end of the day, they're really not. Love, creation, faithfulness, honesty, character, truth, that's what matters. It's what we build the true bedrock of our life around. So that's just a little preamble. I wanted to talk today about a framework that I call Seize the Day. Now, those of you that remember that movie Robin Williams was in, I think it was Dead Poets Society, where those kids at college were studying dead poets. And Seize the Day was one of the phrases that came from, I forgot, Keats or someone. And I've created a framework, and it makes ridiculously bold claims. Seize the day. The secret to live in flow and cause miracles to appear. Now, I stand by that 100%, and I mean it from the innermost part of my heart. The secret to live in flow and cause miracles to appear. So what does that even mean? Well, what is flow? Well, flow is a buzzword these days, and it goes all around. And it means different things, specifically, you know, defined. But what it means in general is a state in which you or I are effortlessly masterful, right? One of the easiest definitions, if you follow basketball, is Steph Curry shooting three-pointers when he's in flow. Like, he can practically close his eyes and hit them from anywhere beyond half court. And it's funny because sometimes when one of those shots goes in, people are cheering and, you know, he'll do this, meaning I can do it in my sleep. That is a symbol of the flow state. Now, technically, what's going on, your body goes into alpha state and you stop thinking about a thing and you are able to do something that is completely automatic and powerful at the same time. Performers get like that. Like, I played the piano or been singing. I just had a vocal lesson with my vocal coach, who's a Hollywood A-list guy, and I've been with him for several years. And, you know, we talked about the state of mind when you're thinking about being, you know, if you're conscious of the mechanics of singing, you screw it up. It's wooden, it's stiff. When you're just in it, then you can get in a state of flow, and the performance is enveloping and includes the audience in a powerful way. Speaking's the same way. And I've learned to do that with an audience, and it's powerful. When you speak like that with an audience, it just, oh, you know, there's this deep connection. So seize the day, the secret to live in flow and cause miracles to appear. So we talked about what flow is. Let's talk for a second about what miracles are. Miracles, you can define them a lot of ways, right? The most of the time we think of something that is utterly impossible, but impossible is a relative term. You know, something that was impossible 10 years ago is not impossible now. Tons of examples, physical things like the 4-minute mile and landing on the moon. And if you go back and research all the things that were said about that. So impossible is just an opinion. And so miracles is the creation of something that was so difficult or unexpected or improbable that it seemed out of the realm of possibility. So if you could live in flow and cause completely improbable things to manifest in your life, then you would be living in flow and causing miracles to appear. Okay? Here's the thing. If you have ever felt stuck, like you can't get what you want, like you think it's out of reach, and for whatever reason, you're just not going to get it, this message is for you. Because living in flow and causing miracles to appear is not Harry Potter, and it's not magic, and despite the beautiful phoenix I have, three of them, in the background behind me, and I hope you're watching the video because it's fun, rising from the ashes, you know, phoenix, I don't know, is it phoenixes or pheni, but anyway, whatever those birds are, every so often they catch on fire and burn when they get old, and then the new chick is born from the ashes. Ooh, sorry. Anyway, so that kind of rebirth is also a miracle. Like if, you know, maybe you have had a situation where you're completely destroyed emotionally, physically, financially, and you've been written off in the minds of others. I was like that. When I had struggles in my life, I was written off by my family. No communication, no letters, no calls, gone. And so I was burned. And through the grace of God and some work, I was able to rise from the ashes. And my existence right now is a miracle. I died in 2018 besides. That was a miracle. So I have been the recipient or a participant in many miracles. Another piece of miracle that happens is you or I to be in a place where we just feel like something's impossible. We're overwhelmed with grief or with, you know, impossibility, or we're just pressed down, and suddenly something happens, we change our mindset, maybe there's some small catalyst, and then we see possibility, and we stand up, and we shake it off, and we're like the phoenix that is rising again. That's a miracle. That is a miracle, that in a thought we can change our minds. They make movies about that stuff. You know, the defeated group that's completely flat and blown away, and then they get up and do stuff. You've seen it in Olympic films or college films or other sports films. They're running a race and somebody falls down. And, you know, the first thought is, oh, you can hear the gasp from the crowd. It's like, oh, they're toast, they're finished. And they get up. And you've seen the, I'm sure you've seen the one or two, or maybe there's more on YouTube where they get up and win the race. Like, how can that even happen? They're that far behind. And somewhere inside, a miracle happens. They find that success gear. They find that thing. Well, you have that. Now, you may not be accessing it. You may not be using it. The key to the door may be lost, but you have it. So I'm going to tell you what I have done. I created a 12-step process. No, it's got nothing to do with addiction recovery. A 12-step process that I use every day. And you know what? I create miracles every day, meaning highly improbable, unexpected things that are so exciting and that contribute to this ultimate life I talk about all the time. Purpose, prosperity, and joy. And none of these miracles have ever involved getting a gold bar or a box of cash from Amazon on the front porch or anything like that. But they have been just as profound, just as exciting, and just as beneficial for me and my family and for those around me. So let's talk about this. I want to talk for a second about why miracles seem like miracles. Why do they seem out of reach? Maybe you think it's impossible. You're like, yeah, that's for you, but I can't have it. So let's talk about who you really are. I've been using recently the acronym WIPOS, W-I-P-O-S, and I'm not sure how to say it, WIPOS, which is worth, identity, possibility, ownership, and sovereignty. And that's just an attempt to help you create a framework in your mind about who you are. You're worth an infinite amount. You're a living, breathing thing that can't be created in any other way except the way God ordained. Your identity is a divine being. That's who you are. You know, we all run around in skin bags, but that spirit came from one place. And the pedigree of your spirit's on one line, you and God. You're a child of the divine. And that means your possibility, the P, is infinite. And the thing it's missing most of the time is ownership. I own my life. I can create what I want out of it. I'm worth an infinite. I'm an infinite amount. I'm a divine being. My possibility is without limit. And I own the keys to this hot rod. And the last one, the S, is sovereignty. So many of us sort of have this vague idea that we own our lives. And then we say, but I have to do this. I'm obligated to this. I got no choice. I have to. I gotta. Have to. Those are poison words. It's never true, even though there might be consequences to choosing something different. It's always a choice. Okay, so I just want you to remember that. You own your life. You're the sovereign soul determiner of how it goes. Those are foundational truths. And that doesn't mean I have power to control the fire that burned my house down. If I lived there, I don't. I don't have that, but I get to control how I view it, how I react to it, how I speak about it, what I do about it, and my viewpoint from this moment on as a helpless victim or as somebody who's going to create magic. I get to decide that. All right, so what does it mean to seize the day? It means to make intentional decisions to take the day or the situation by the horns. It means to act in a way fully aligned with my purpose, my declaration of being. Now, if you don't have a declaration of being, if you don't have a purpose, then I really would recommend that you get, I'm going to show you a book here, and I want you to get it. It's not because I care about selling books. Living with Purpose and Power. If you don't have a mission that's driving your life. And I don't mean you have to be some kind of a nutcase, but if you're not committed to something powerful, then most of the time we're just sort of drifting. And I would invite you to get Living with Purpose and Power and declare your mission. I don't try to tell you what it is. What I do is suggest that life is more fun, more make more money, and you're more excited, more driven, more passionate every single day. So miracles aren't magic. They're the result of using power that we don't normally access. Like you and I, we got power we don't know about. I've talked before about those experiments done in the laboratory where just by thinking, they proved over and over again that they can change the radioactive decay of plutonium-420. So plutonium-420 decays at a certain rate. They've done this experiment countless times and validated it. Just by sitting there thinking, there's a measurable difference. That means that thinking causes stuff to happen. And maybe we say, who cares about that? It happens for anything and everything. And you can decide to ignore me or argue, or you can go to work and make it valuable in your life. Seizing the day means, instead of being doubting, instead of fighting with the truth of your ability to create, lean in and embrace it. Seize the day. It's your day either way. You can do jack or you can seize it and make miracles happen. So here are the 12 steps that I use every single day. And this is not a framework that's like over there and once in a while I remember, oh yeah, when I remember that, oh yeah, okay. No, this is bulletproof. It's written all over my heart. And I do it every single day, every morning. It's part of my daily creation process. Now, some of the language is going to be a little woo-woo, and you'll just have to deal with that. I'll explain what each of it means. Step one is to enter spirit and receive pure power. Enter spirit to me means connect with God. To you, it might mean meditate. It might mean ponder upon your life purpose. It might mean self-reflection on who you want to be. It might mean reading sacred literature. What it doesn't mean is going through the motions. What it doesn't mean is pretending. What it doesn't mean is going, man, I'm going to try this crap meditation. It doesn't work. See, that isn't any of that. Enter spirit means find and execute a practice that connects you and grounds you to the divine. Some people walk around in barefoot in the mud or the dirt, in earthing on the lawn or something. You know, there are lots of ways to do it. I've got a client who lives in Tasmania, outside, you know, the island off Australia, and they've got a property with a, you know, quartz vortex on it. And I've been there. I went to a silent meditation retreat. And if you put your hands over it, it makes the hair stand up, and you can feel the energy coming through it. So whatever it is, enter spirit and receive pure power. So hear the words. Do enter spirit means do whatever it is that connects you to the divine, and don't leave that till you've received power, till you feel energized. Now, if all this sounds like weird whack job stuff, I invite you to get a hold of me. Please leave a comment on social. Go to www.kellenflukigermedia.com. There's a contact form there. kellenflukigermedia.com. I want to talk to you, because if you don't know how to enter spirit, if you don't know how to get in touch with the divine on demand, it's a skill worth learning. It's worth any amount of money. And so it's worth every single effort to learn how to do that. All right. Step two is, when you're there, after you've entered spirit and you feel connected and powerful, seek inspiration in the silence and stillness. Now, that process almost always involves stillness. Stillness around you, but stillness in the heart. And seeking inspiration means to listen. When I teach meditation, I teach three steps. Slow down enough to be where you are. And there's lots of styles, transcendental, body scan, meditation, visualization. I'm not talking about any style. The three keys to learning to meditate are, number one, slow down enough to be where you are and when you are. Meaning, end the noise, slow down enough to be fully here, both physically and temporally, meaning you're not thinking about what's next or what was before. So be where you are and when you are. Second is seek inspiration in the silence and stillness. Listen to what is there. Because here's what I notice. When I slow down like that, I start hearing or perceiving things I didn't even know were there. And I'm not talking about the air conditioner humming that you wouldn't have noticed otherwise. I'm talking about you see other things, you feel other things that were buried by the chatter. And the third step is trust what comes to you as truth. And that's this seeking inspiration. When you're quiet and in silence, you know, you absolutely know when you have an inspired thought. Ooh, wow, that was a sudden flash of insight. So that's part two. Seek inspiration in silence and stillness. And my rule for me is I don't leave that spiritual place until I've touched the presence of God and I feel inspired for this day. Not generally pumped. That happens too. But I'm inspired about what to do now. Now, can you imagine every single day getting in touch with the divine and feeling clear about what to do today? That's power. But that's only the first two. Step three is, it says, speak the words of being. Speak the words of being. Now, my words of being are in that book, Living with Purpose and Power, that I talked about. They are a declaration of who I am in the world. They're a declaration of who I've decided to be. You know, some of the words are, I am forgiveness with compassion, grace, and patience for everyone, for everything, including myself. I am love pouring over your soul like warm sunshine to create miracles in the moment. My declaration and words of being are several pages. I have them memorized. They're woven into my DNA, and they're things that I've chosen. They're not to impress anybody or any of that kind of stuff. I don't care if anybody ever sees them. I did share them in the book Living with Purpose and Power as an example of something you could create. So speaking those words with intent and focus then takes that inspiration and just jacks it up a whole lot. Okay? Step four is, okay, remember, I'm gone into spirit, received power, I'm seeking inspiration, and I've spoken my own words of being, my own constitution, my own credo. And when I speak my credo, it makes me emotional. I weep, I tremble, because it is so affirming and confirming about who I am and how I show up in the world. Step four is affirm commitments and eliminate obligations. This one's really important, okay? If you run your life, if you look at your calendar and it actually reflected what you did during the day, I know we put crap on our calendar and stuff gets in the way and we don't do it. If your calendar magically changed to whatever it is that you did, how many of the things on there would feel like, I gotta do this? This is some kind of an obligation. That is a poison feeling. Because the minute you say, I got no choice, you're brewing seeds of resentment. Because I gotta, it's an obligation, means I'd rather be doing something else, but I gotta take care of my family. I gotta go to work. That's poison. It robs you of your creativity and it robs you of your power, and it also makes you stupid. Because when we're feeling obligation and resentment, the neurotransmitters narrow our creativity and limit our ability to solve problems. So it actually makes us stupid. Okay? So when I say affirm commitments and eliminate obligations, I'm not saying dump everybody you've ever promised anything to. Do one of two things. Either don't do it if you feel like it's an obligation. Either don't do it and deal with whatever consequences come from that, or change it to a commitment. What's the difference? You think commitment's an obligation? No, it's not. A commitment is something I joyfully and joyously and willingly affirm and take on. I'm committed to do that. And it might sound like semantics to you, and it might sound silly, but if you do the work to change what you now call an obligation into a commitment, it stops being a drag. It stops weighing you down. It stops robbing you of clarity and creativity. It stops feeling like a pain in the butt. You never use the word gotta. You change to I get to. I get to do that. Can you imagine? Just play with me here. Imagine your own productivity. If you truly felt when you're going to work, I get to go to work today. I am so excited. Of course, your performance levels up, you level up the spirit in the office, all kinds of things happen that are positive. If you go in there with, I got to do this and I got to do that, the work suffers and you know how that all works. So affirming commitments and eliminate obligations means literally get everything that's an obligation off your calendar, either by not doing it and then telling people I'm not going to do this, or turning it into a commitment where you make a choice to love it. Because you can. That's step four. Step five, five and six are changing emotional barriers. Now, step four did that a little bit by getting rid of obligations and eliminating that resentment feeling. Step five is to transform negative rumination or interaction. Negative rumination is thinking about something that happened or is going to happen, and you're worrying about it, and you're chewing it, right? Over and over again, and so it brings worry and negative neurotransmitters. If you transform all of your negative rumination or interaction, you know, you might drive to work, somebody cuts you off, or you might be speaking with a coworker and they're rude, something's going on in their life and they're just, you know, jerks today, or maybe they always are, who knows? Transforming it is your choice. You and I, we can't make drivers behave. We can't make somebody at work have a good day. What I can do is put up a shield emotionally so that it doesn't come to me as negative. You can't make me mad. You can't hurt my feelings. You can't make me anything. You can do or say whatever you want. And it is up to me and only me to interpret that interaction negatively. I don't care if you call me names and, you know, say all kinds of stuff. I can choose to just love you and ignore you, or I can choose to get pissed off. So transforming negative rumination or interaction is the next thing. Number six is to ignore the irrelevant. The way I wrote it is ignore irrelevant or distracting thought creations. Now, that might seem weird to you, but thought creations is all there is, right? That which is irrelevant. So one example for me is driving. People behave however they behave. Maybe they're, you know, ignorant. Maybe they don't know how to drive. Maybe they're distracted. Maybe somebody just died, whatever. And for me, all of the behavior that I see that people do that, you know, I used to get mad about, or you could get mad about, cut you off or didn't signal or go too fast, go too slow. All of that stuff is just completely irrelevant. And so I simply ignore irrelevant things. I choose, and this is a skill I had to learn. It wasn't easy, but I choose to ignore everything that's irrelevant. And the reason is because most of the time we would pull it in, we'd make it mean something, and then we'd be upset. So I ignore all that irrelevant stuff. And I do it on purpose. And anytime I find myself something on TV, something from the news, something that is intentionally designed to get you wound up, focusing on negativity, you know, anti this, anti that, noise, I don't pay attention at all. Rather, I focus on love and service. And I find that doing that eliminates all that irrelevant crap. And I call them thought creations because they aren't anything until we think. If somebody drives a certain way, it isn't anything until I think, that stupid so-and-so cut me off. Isn't he paying attention? Doesn't he know what signal lights are for? Then I have made that something. Doesn't mean anything until I make it. Shakespeare said that. You know, they're nothing until we make them so. All right. The next step starts to action. And remember, we're trying to seize the day. So up to now, I've prepared my heart, my soul, my spirit. You know, I prepared myself to jump in and love today. So the next one, number seven, is set clear, measurable daily promises. They can be little, they can be whatever size. I always start with three non-negotiables, the three most important things for today. But it doesn't matter how many you do or whatever. They need to be clear and measurable, and you're committed. And I say daily promises because they need to be treated like promises. So set clear, measurable daily promises. I'm going to do a certain number of podcast episodes. I have four clients to talk to today. I'm going to do a Facebook Live today in between clients three and four. I'm going to go somewhere with Joy and go shopping. I'm going, you know, I make clear measurable promises. I'm going to do better at my marketing today is really stupid. You don't know if you did or didn't. And it's so easy to slough off. And if that's been an area where you've struggled before, you're toast before you start. It's like a New Year's resolution you won't tell anybody because you don't want to be embarrassed and you know you're going to fail. Those don't count. Okay, so set clear, measurable daily promises. And the next one's right related to that, which is take direct, consistent, motivated action. Now, I use all those words, direct, consistent, motivated action, for a special reason. Direct is action that is intended to cause that thing to happen. Want more sales calls? Pick up phone, dial number. That is direct action. The next word is consistent. If I pick up phone once, then I did it once, but there's no consistency. And motivated action is how I do it. If I'm trying to have a sales call and I pick up the phone and I do it consistently and I'm pissed off or timid, talk to me, that's going to be reflected in my success. If I go to practice the piano and I go expecting to fail, tired, I'm not going to do it, don't really want to do it now, my practice session's going to suck, my improvement's going to be tiny, if any, and it isn't going to do any good, and then I end up feeling bad about the whole thing. So taking direct, consistent, motivated action is key. The next step, number 10, is move boldly through the day with focus and creative power. Move boldly through the day with focus and creative power. Now, here's the thing. You get to choose where your attention goes. I want you to think about something. Who's the most important person in the world to you? Like, who is the person that if you got to sit with them right now, you would pay attention 100, every antenna is up? Is it Elon Musk? Is it God? Is it, you know, somebody? Like, who would be the person that for you would turn up your listening to 11? You'd be all there. I just want you to think about that for a minute, because that's a choice. Because you can also think of somebody where you'd turn your listening down to zero. Some jerkwad, you don't want to talk to them, you wish they'd shut up. So you control where that knob is, anywhere between 0 and 10, and 11, right, for the special ones. So who would you turn it up to 11 for? That's what it means to move boldly through the day with focus and creative power. You have to be there. You have to have your hand on the knob. You have to notice when you're slacking or slagging or slacking off. No, 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 I'm choosing to be focused. I'm choosing to be focused. And if you need to rest, rest. But the choice to be focused is in your hands, only always. So move boldly through the day with focus and creative power. Okay? And here's what I notice. When I am focused on something I've committed to do, and it's gone from obligation, I've turned it into a commitment, which means I'm all in, I'm loving this, and I have focus on it, my creativity goes through the roof. My stamina goes through the roof. So if I'm trying something and it's not working like I want, and it feels like, oh, crap, this is not, and it could easily get frustrating and then you lose interest and quit. Not so. If I have focus and I'm all in for what I'm doing, I have patience to last again and again and again, and so do you. It's a matter of choice. Now, those muscles may be rusty for you, but I can promise you, remember, we're talking seize the day, the secret to live in flow and cause miracles or extremely improbable, unexpected events to take place. Now, the next one, number 10, I think that was number 9. Number 10, I'm using a word that's not used very often. It's called brook. Brook no internal nonsense. Brook means to tolerate. So brook no internal nonsense means everything that could derail you, slough it off. Not paying attention. Sorry. You don't get my attention. Phone rings. No. Okay. Emails pop up. Notifications. Ooh, look at that cat video. No, now. For later. For later. No internal nonsense also means, what if I fail? What if I bomb? What if they hate my guts? What if I make the sales call and they scream at me? What if I start it and I bungle it completely and I look like a fool? That's all internal nonsense. And I call it nonsense because it is. Number 11 is also, now we get back in the woo-woo a little bit, but it's remain absorbed in pure service. Something that derails me quickly is if I go anywhere near resentment or I go anywhere near crap, how come I have to do this? How come you ask that question? How come you don't understand what I mean? If I go anywhere near impatience or frustration or I get a negative because I don't think you appreciate how much I'm doing for you. If I go anywhere near those selfish emotions, I lose my focus. I lose my creative power. I lose my love, my ability to just have empathy and connect. So when I say remain absorbed in pure service, that's my way of saying take the ego out, take me out. The only reason I'm there is to love you and serve you. And it's funny, I do that. When I met a new person today, brand new, never talked to him before. And the only question I ask, and I kept repeating it, is tell me how I can help you. Tell me all about your coolness. I want to hear about you. Not to be weird, not to do anything, because it was sincere. And that's how I remain in service. Because if I can hear everything about you, then it's easy for me to see how I can help. What I can do. Now, if I was sitting there thinking, I wonder if I'm going to make some money or sell something, or wonder when we're going to be done because this sucks and you're taking too much of my time. If any of that kind of stuff's in my mind, we're toast. That's not living in flow, and it sure as heck isn't going to cause any miracle to appear. It sure as heck isn't going to create rapport and friendship and power and growth. The last one is manifest with boundless joy. Manifest with boundless joy, and that's more a result of doing all these things, when you do those things, I promise you, and it takes practice, okay? You're going to get rusty and you're going to fall out of flow here and there and all that stuff's going to go round and round. That's a given, okay? But what I can promise you is as you practice, you're going to have more and more days where you feel energized all day, where you feel on top of the world, where you feel like the wind's behind you. You got this. Whether you're selling something, whether you're on vacation, whether you're studying something or anything like that. You know the days where you felt on top and they, like everything's going well. And you also know the days when things suck and you're wishing the day would be over and you hope tomorrow's better. So you, if you use these 12 steps, I promise you, you can live in flow, a state of continual joy, a state of continual excitement, a continued excellent performance. Now, I'm going to give you an example of where this works. I get asked a lot to speak at events, okay? Anywhere from 10 minutes to 90 minutes. You know, I've done an all-day seminar too, but several times. But I get asked to speak a lot, and here's the thing. Learning to speak is one skill. Learning to not be self-conscious or be afraid or uptight is another thing, you know, another possibility. And you need to have both of those if you're going to have great impact, if you're going to be locked in that service mode. Here's what I know. Because I do these steps every day, I enter spirit and receive pure power, seek inspiration in the silence and stillness, speak the words of being so I can love, create, and serve. Those are my three words. I affirm my commitments, eliminate obligations, right? And I transform anything negative. And I ignore the things that are irrelevant. I set clear, measurable promises, take direct action, right? And I move boldly through the day. And I remain absorbed in pure service and I brook no internal nonsense. The outcome of that is I have fun all day, every day. The other outcome is when things happen, like I'm asked to speak for 10 minutes or an hour or something, not only can I do that, but I can do it in such a way that it is super powerful. People throng afterwards to talk more and to learn more. And I'm not saying that to say, yay me, because there's absolutely nothing special about me. It is a result, a pure result of using those practices to live in flow. And because I do them, when the situation comes to speak with someone, to teach, to serve, it's insane. The answers come, the thoughts come, the flow just comes. And then it works, and it will for you. So this whole list of 12 things, I'm giving it to you so you can take it, you can try it, you can change it up. But the goal is create something that works for you to put yourself every day in that state of effortless, joyful creation and productivity. And whether that productivity means painting a room, closing a bunch of sales to make some cash, coaching some clients, being with your kids and creating joyful memories, reconciling with an estranged loved one or friend, no matter what it is, if you follow these steps and you do it every day, you will always be in a state to rise to whatever the demands of the occasion are, not in a trivial way, not in a barely get by way, but in a knock it out of the park and do the victory dance way. I know it. I've seen it over and over again in myself and other clients. So here's something I want you to do. I gave you 12 steps. It can feel totally mind-blowing and overwhelming. So write them down, go back and listen to this again, get them down, and just pick one. How do I do that 5% more today? And you might think that's a forever project, but it's not. When you've got things 50% better in 10 days, it's not even 2 weeks. this accumulation of growth happens so fast. In a month, you won't recognize you. You'll be happier all the time. You'll be more successful. You'll close more deals. Your partner will be more thrilled. Your kids will get along better. You will be able to accomplish things that today seem out of reach. Now, I don't know how it could not be worth it to you to do that. Now, here's an invitation. If you want help with this, if what I've said sparks your interest and you'd like, I'd love to have that, but I don't know how to do it, and I don't think it'll work for me. I wish I could have somebody help me. The answer is I'm here. Because my goal is to help 300 million people, and you're one of them, this year, to realize you do have power to create your life, to realize you can have any kind of a life you want, to realize that no matter what happens around you, you are the sovereign. You get to create yourself and everything else. So I'm inviting you to reach out to me. Let me help you. I have done nothing but for 17 and a half years but study and learn this because I needed it. First of all, I was in desperate need of these skills, and having mastered them, now I'm stoked about helping everybody else because it has made such a difference in my life. I literally live in flow and create miracles every day, and that's not a fanciful wish. It's real life. So the first thing is to just start with one. Start small, because success breeds success, and failure breeds failure. You know that. You know it intrinsically. If you go after something and you fall on your face once or twice, it's like, yeah, you know, you're not that interested in it. So then pick a smaller step. Pick a smaller step so that you can succeed. Break it up small enough so that you win. Because winning creates momentum and energy. Now, every single book that I've written and course that I've created teaches some piece of this, because my only purpose in life is to help you get what you want, help you build the wealth you want, help you have the joy you deserve, help you get past whatever barriers, physical or mental, spiritual barriers. They're all overcomable, whatever word that is, right? They really are. So I want to invite you with one more thing. Actually, two more things. One, go to KellenFlukigerMedia.com. The books that I have are there. Okay, you can see maybe one or more is directly on point with what you're struggling with. I wrote every one of them because I needed them. I wrote every one because they were things that I struggled with on my journey to getting healthy, to getting my mental illness under control and addictions. And now I get to live as a beacon of light, a vessel of love, and a conduit of power, and just flat loving you, no matter where you are. I don't care where you are. Doesn't matter where you are. What matters is the direction you're traveling and the slope of your growth. If you're traveling in a good direction, but your slope is flat, it's going to take a long time, and that's not very fun. If you're traveling in a good direction and it's vertical, you're going to get discouraged. The best way to do this, pick the books that I've got that will help you, and then get some good coaching. Get somebody that understands the growth process. Get somebody that has been through the difficulties. So here's your invitations. One, reach out to me and let's talk. I love meeting people. I love you already, and I'd love to talk about what you're up to and what I can help you with. And maybe you've got a story to tell. Maybe you've already done awesome resilience and you're like the Phoenix back here. You're just like crushing it or on your way. I want to hear your story. I've got two guests coming up in 2 or 3 weeks from now that have got stories about their resilience and about their failures and about success. Why do I bring those people on? Because I want you to see what's possible. I want you to see that every single day people say, you know what? I'm not stuck anymore. I refuse to stay stuck. I don't know about you, but the only way I was able to do that is get help. I stayed stuck for decades. So get the help you need. Every single person, you right here, right now, you can have your ultimate life. You can have purpose, prosperity, and joy, but you have to go get it. Miracles are within your grasp. So let's reach out and talk. Go to KellenFlukigerMedia.com and see if anything there will help you. There's a contact form there. if you'd like my help, or if you think you've got a story that I may share, be able to share to encourage others here on the show. Here is the final question. What miracle can you create in your life today if you seize the moment fiercely, you own your life, you claim your sovereignty? What miracle can you create today? Answer that question firmly, fervently, powerfully, and repeatedly. And that will move you so quickly forward, joyfully, to create your ultimate life.
You're listening to Your Ultimate Life with Kellen Flukiger, only on LA Talk Radio.